Welcome to another episode of Masked Monologues, the anonymous podcast dedicated to creatives. Each week, I dive into conversations with a diverse array of creatives from various industries to explore their unique processes and stories. If you're enjoying the show and want to support us, please consider leaving a review or sharing it with a friend.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Mass Monologues. Today, I'm excited to have Guy Monroe here with me. He is a voice coach. He works with vocalists, and he'd like to tell us a little bit about himself and what he does.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm so excited to be here, and I'll tell you a little bit about Guy Monroe, the charisma coach, and what I do. Guy Monroe Voice, also known as that, another name. What I do is I teach people how to overcome anxiety so you can show up magnificently. And if you are showing up, I'll show you how to show up even more magnificently by discovering how we amuse ourselves, how we inspire ourselves, how we seek out using our mind and our eyes real time when we're presenting to others or when we're in front of a camera, how we inspire ourselves in the moment, how we make our voices sound beautiful. If there's anything that you don't like about your voice or your presentation or your presentation style or the way you sound, no worries. We start wherever you are and we fix all that stuff. And I will teach you the secrets of the most confident public speakers like Tony Robbins. And I'll teach you the secrets of the greatest singers in the world, such as your favorite vocal artist, and how you can sound beautiful and you can be more interesting too.
Okay, that's wonderful. Thanks for giving us a great introduction. I am someone who has a background in vocal. I'd say I've been a vocalist. I've done vocal coach. I've worked with a vocal coach before. I've released an album, so I know a bit what you're talking about. I want to know, you say that you work with stuttering, and usually there's specific vocal coaches that work for more musical clients, and then other vocal coaches who work with speech and public speaking. You seem as though you're somebody who does all of it, and I'm wondering how you started out and why you decided to jump into both worlds.
Sure. Well, I started off as a big fish in a small pond, came from a small town like most people do, and I won in my town all the trophies and the awards, and then I decided to move to Hollywood to pursue television and commercial work, and I developed stage fright when I went to Hollywood. I moved there, and which was a shock to me at the time. And I didn't know the cause of it. I didn't know how I did it. And so I just had to give up on my career because all I experienced was anxiety. I didn't know that I was actually frightening myself approaching performance differently than I did when I won the awards, when all of a sudden performance was about earning a living. I kind of turned it into this serious, heavy thing. And I frightened myself instead of having an agenda, a business agenda, but making sure that the process was about playfulness and self-inspiration. And so over the years, I discovered how I caused my stage fright. And I became one of those unusual singers who could sing so well that what I did was I reverse engineered how I sing very well. And I started teaching people the celebrity method of singing. You know, we work with vocal coaches, and vocal coaches are great. And their process, however, is often it's very specific, and people don't know how specific it is. It's a little antiquated. When you go to a voice coach and you learn scales and intervals and all of these technologies, what you're actually learning, instead of learning how to sing magnificently, what they're doing is they're preparing you for an opera career, which is the ability to go into a recording studio, to sight read, and to be able to sing at any form of an aria, anything, completely unprepared, masterfully, on the spot, to be able to do that. And of course, modern day performers don't need that. What they actually need is they have to understand what the celebrity sound is, and that it's much more than just being on pitch. And I call that the elements of performance, which are number one, beauty. You must be beautiful. Beautiful and beauty is the ability to sing on pitch at all times, like a musical instrument. But the difficulty is we have to deal with words. A piano doesn't deal with words. A guitar doesn't deal with words. And the problem is that we have vowels and consonants. And a consonant would be like a dead key on the piano. So if you're lining up your words and you're singing along and then you try to sing a consonant, a T or an S, at that moment you have a dead key on the piano. You're not musical. So we have to understand vowels are the key to musical beauty, because you must be melodious 100% of the time. So that's beauty, what beginners refer to as being on pitch. Number two is you must sound sacred or truthful. This is acquired by captured air being pressurized abdominally through the abdominal diaphragm, the intercostal system, pressurizing the captured air, and believe it or not, directing it to the human amplification system, which is the sinus. The sound of sinus is a sound of truth, but it's also ugly. The truth is bitter. So we must be beauty and the beast, because beauty without truth is insipid, and truth without beauty is not inspiring. I'll give you an example. So recording stars, they direct their sound into the echo chamber of the skull. We call that the place or placement. The beginning singer is only interested with pitch. But what you have to have, especially if you're auditioning, and I've prepared people for The Voice and X Factor and TEDx, and the elements that are required is beauty and truth as the primary elements. That's what they'll listen for. So example, I'll show you what Johnny Cash would sound like without truth. He would, without the sinus, he would sound like this. I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. Now we add, that was beautiful because it was on pitch. But was it passionate? Was it truthful? So we add the passion and the truth. And it's kind of like a Tibetan monk driving the sound into the sinuses, creating a kazoo-like sound. I am now creating overtones and undertones through reflectivity in my sinus. Now I will hum like an M, and sing at the same time. Previously, I was just singing. I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. So now you have truth and beauty. It's complete. Then the other two elements are groove, which occurs on the vowel, and the other, because we must be rhythmical musically. That means we have to do it on the notes, through longer vowels and shorter vowels, or quicker and more stretched out vowels. That's where the groove rhythmically occurs. And then we have to be a visual storyteller. My heart, I think, you, me, the visual aspect of performance. And that's basically it. Beauty, beast, the groove, which occurs on the vowel, gotta be groovy. And number four, we have to be visually telling the story, the sky, the earth, the river, you and me, so on. Those are the four elements of the great singer. So we integrate all of those simultaneously. and become great storytellers while we're singing. And we also have to learn how to in self-inspire instead of frighten ourselves, which is very, very important.
I want to bring up a topic, and it's mainly to do with pop artists. So if you go to a classically trained singer or a classically trained vocal coach who uses classical methods, a lot of the time they'll tell you that pop artists don't exactly use correct, proper technique. And this has a lot to do with what you said, the bitter, because instead of everything being beautiful, you know, this flowery vocal sound, they're trying to get into the emotion, evoke the audience emotionally, and also portray a story. They're trying to convey the story of the music. They're trying to convey their emotions. And a lot of the time, this is regarded as it's not correct, it's not proper. So if you were a singer who was classically trained, how do you break these barriers and become more authentic to who you are?
What a beautiful question. That is so, so needed. So many singers need to understand that. Okay, so you magnificently classically trained singers. You have to know this. You have been trained as the athletes of vocalizing. You are the powerhouses. You are what we call furniture eaters. Your job and your training was about creating as massive overtones and undertones as humanly possible. The origin of this style or technique is a pre-recording, pre-microphone technology where you needed to get that sound to the back of the room. Your technique is all around amplification. So now we have to flip it into something else. Since the invention of the microphone, the ability to record ourselves, this is the art of intimacy. Into me see. Interesting play on words. Into me see. Intimacy. So this style is different. This style is not about the projection, which has its place, but rather this is about creating all the characteristics of projection without loudness. I'll say that again. All of the characteristics of projection without loudness. Why is this important? Because if you've noticed, when you go into the recording studio, microphones don't like loud. They hate loudness. They hate it, and they redline, right? So understand what's happening when you go into full voice. Let's say you're in high school or college, and you're standing in the auditorium, and you're on stage, and you've got this beautiful full sound, and you're blasting. You are projecting, you're belting, as we call it. Belting is problematic in the recording studio in that, let me describe to you what you're actually doing. When you're belting, your voice at whatever level it is typically is going into a microphone, and those speakers are directed out into the hall, and they're reflecting in the hollow space of the auditorium, creating overtones and undertones in the auditorium, and you sound magnificent. Or the cathedral in the church, you sound magnificent. But what you're actually hearing is the loudness that you're creating is actually creating overtones and undertones in the room, as opposed to creating the overtones and undertones in your skull. So this is the sound of passion. So when you're belting, you sound passionate. What you must learn is how to sound passionate quietly. And what you must deliver simultaneously, that means if I take away your loudness, the ability to be loud, what if you look at it this way? Instead of directing the sound out into the room, I want you to direct your sound up into your skull, like the hollow body of the guitar. I need you to direct it up into your sinuses. And you may say, I'll sound nasally. You will sound nasally if you're attempting to create brightness for brightness' sake, as opposed to it being muscle-driven, muscle origin from the center of your body through pressurization or trapping of the sound, creating reverberations in your skull. Creating the reverberations in your skull is correct. So that's how someone like Johnny Cash can sound like a Tibetan monk. When you hear the Tibetan monks, for example, it's a sound of sacredness. They do not go, speaking on the exhale. They capture the air with a quick inhale gasp. They put it under pressure and they drive it into a cul-de-sac of the skull. It's trapped, you see, and it starts bouncing around. And that creates what we call overtones and undertones, meaning the primary frequency that you're hitting is the pitch. But the overtones and undertones are like a choir. So you can sound like seven people singing. This is what you must strive to achieve. A perfect example is a musical theater sound. I can acquire the same characteristics by quieting down for the microphone's sake if I create this resonance, resonati, this echo in my face first. So what I want you to do is run through your song, and I want you to hum through it, not on an H, because that's a pump, but on an M. So if I'm doing Oklahoma and I want to go, hear that buzz? That's not nasality. Those are overtones and undertones. Hear that? Sounds like a door creak or something raspy. That's my skull. Then I move into my vowels from an M. The wheels are yellow, the upholstery is brown, the dashboard's genuine leather. With eyes and glass curtains, I can roll right down in case there's a change in the weather. Two verses two. In case there's a change in the weather. In case there's a change in the weather. Resonance, resonati. So you must be aware, the sound of passion, which you've created loudly, to capture it, I have to put you in a sound booth. That means there's no reflectivity. There is no cathedral. There is no giant auditorium to yell into through an amplified source, creating overtones and undertones in the room, which the audience enjoys. I put you in a little phone booth, and you have to create it in your face. So this is the new habit. Practice your song on an M, your line, your first phrase, whether it's musical theater, whether it's jazz. I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, versus air dumping, conferring with the flowers, whatever the style is, pop, rock, musical theater, operetta, you practice, creating the beast, and simultaneously creating overtones and undertones while you're creating pitch on every vocal moment, going from vowel to vowel to vowel to vowel, gluing your words together in a connected phrasing style, hard stop, next connected grouping, hard stop, next connected grouping. Is that simple and clear enough?
Yes, that is simple and clear. I want to inquire about the topic of nasality. So a lot of vocal coaches that I've spoken to have said no nasal at all. But when you listen to pop artists, sometimes they are purposefully nasally. And I'm wondering if this is a good technique, if it hinders anything vocally, like to do with your vocal cords. Maybe it's a bad practice because you don't want to repeat it over and over again. But I've done, exercises where it's plug your nose, nothing, no air comes out of your nose. You're just focusing on all the projection from your mouth. The voice is just projecting from your mouth, and it's supposed to be amplified as powerful as possible. But the studio recording, like you were saying, everything is more nuanced. There's these subtleties because you want to feel as though you're right beside that singer, that singer's in your head.
That's a what a beautiful question. All vocal coaches are attempting to describe the same thing. And so we're reverse engineering. Those of us with ability are reverse engineering what we can do. And I want to give it to you and how to do that. So look at it this way. The human vocal apparatus is really simple. Grab it, crush it, buzz it. Grab it. Singing, this is a confusing statement. You'll hear from a lot of vocal coaches. Some vocal coaches will say, breathe through your nose. I will say, good luck with that. And the reason that that is because it's such a dynamic and intricate and complete air filtration, culturization process. It's incredibly slow. I say the nose is for. In practicality, Italian restaurants and yoga class. It takes an hour and a half to fill your lungs through your nose. So good luck on that quick reload sip. The wheels are yellow, the upholstery is brown, the dashboard's genuine leather, with eyes and glass curtains that can roll right down in case there's a change in the weather. So, practicality. We must get it quickly. So for public speaking and for singing, we grab it. Number one. Number two, we crush it. You keep what you have in your body. Once your lungs are filled with air, that's all you get for your phrase run. So we have to be economical with our air loss. We never speak on the exhale. We don't sing on the exhale. We actually capture it, and it's more like holding breath than anything else. And we drive it into a trapped echo chamber called the sinus to create overtones and undertones. That is human amplification. You've just achieved loudness. We're actually speaking or singing through our cheekbones of our face. This initiation, the thin bones in the nose, the turbinates, the maxillary sinuses. If when the human skull is opened up, you can't put your fingers in there because the sinus system has razor blade thin pieces of bone. Getting them to wiggle is what creates amplification. So we take that, we crush it. We put it under pressure, and the destination always is into the face. Now we have terminology like head voice. We have falsetto. We have chest voice. All this terminology is attempting to describe something. What you want to do is get the entire body vibrating. It begins, number one, in the sinuses. Then it transfers to the thicker mass areas. And this gets the whole body going. So, grab it, crush it, and buzz it needs to be your initiation point. The primary issue for all singers will always be this. Singers that don't accomplish beauty is the primary problem. Number one, beauty is you must be musical as a piano, always. But if I say, sing, the cat has a. The cat has some fleas. If on my downbeat I hit a TH on my downbeat, I have to go to the vowel. So that C has to happen on the way to the when, the downbeat. Cat, some. It's a dead key. Some please. Right. The cat has some fleas. E. That which is singable is that which is of the voice. And anything that causes the vocal cords to vibrate is a thumbs up. When our vocal cords vibrate, we call that voce or voice. And it happens on the vowels. The vowels are the vehicle of sound. So keep it very, very simple. Nasality is when people unconsciously, in my opinion, are trying to create amplification through shrill, brassy, and bright without a musculature pressurized origin. And then what it just sounds like is a very thin, tinny sound. And that's a very unbalanced sound. We can't have that. So you must get the body vibrating using pressurization, crush it. So the entire phrase run is about crushing and conservation. It's about muscle engagement. We listen for that. From the core to a sinus destination. And that will take care of the shrilly, brassy, bright, because you have to understand the characteristics of the human voice also. So the sinus is shrill, brassy, bright. The mouth resonator is warm, dull, and dumb. So we do this thing called blending, like treble, like EQ. I need it to be bright, but not shrilly. I need to be warm, but not dumb. So I play with the mouth, which is like carpeting the walls of your mouth, and you create an U shape in your mouth to keep that tongue low, create a secondary resonating chamber in the mouth. While I'm using my primary resonator, the sinus, which gets everything going, bone, thin skin on bone, creates the bounce. My cat has some fleas. My cat has some fleas. High tongue, low tongue. My cat has some fleas. Then vowels. A, listen to where they place, typically in the sinus. A, E, I, typically O, because we shape it round, we put that one in the mouth. O, and ooh, we put in the mouth. Ooh. So bright, 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 dumb, dumb. So to balance or blend, put your lows in the nose. Put the O's in the nose. A, E, I, O, ooh. Now the color is consistent. So it's about color. Blending is about color. Brassy, bright to shrill. So typically when you go for a very high note, we speak in terms of emotion. What is the purpose of going for a high note? Well, physiologically, if you put your finger in a light socket, it'll be a high pitch. Because of the muscle engagement, it'll make a high pitch. So high pitches infer emotions. So what we want to do is we know that when we go high, it is to sound emotional. This is the realm of agitation and hysteria. Allow your voice to have those characteristics when you go high. Don't try and turn it into calm, warm, and resolved like your lower pitches. And along those lines, in a final statement about that is, if you can sound passionate without getting loud, then what will occur is, if you're an alto, you can sing in the soprano range. If you're a baritone, you get to sing in the tenor range. And this is really a requirement for pop singers, because I need you to span the emotional gateway completely into the stratospheric by familiarizing yourself with high pitches and understanding the characteristic of those high pitches. They're not going to be warm and sultry. They're going to be in the realm of hysterics and upsettedness. So think of it like a play. Your lower pitches are when you're calmer. Verses typically are calm. I'm mulling it over. I'm thinking about it. And what happens when we hit the chorus? I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm sick and tired. Or I'm jubilant and I'm going to break free. And I'm going to do. So it's an emotional arc. So let it have a different color characteristic, your higher pitches. Don't try and make them all warm and reasonable. Hope I didn't throw too much at you, but that's kind of the thing.
No, that was just enough. I've heard this analogy before, time and time again, where you want to use your consciousness as trampolines to jump off of and go back to your vowel sound. So I understand where you're coming from with that. I want to know, what challenges do you notice have been more prevalent with beginner singers, and which challenges have been more prevalent in intermediate singers, and how do they vary?
For singers, for beginning singers, the problem tends to be the unrealistic desire for greatness quickly. And they tend to give up easily. They tend to hate the characteristic qualities of their voice, and they tend to quit. Intermediates, well, they have moved into acceptance of, well, I don't like my voice. And then they start working with a coach and they start blending the tone and the quality. They realize they have been on the consonant, which makes them breathy, which creates vocal issues. They're not resonant enough. So they start bumping up their theatricality and changing their taste. Because what happens is inside your skull, there is a thing called a malleus, your eardrum. So visualize this drum, and what's behind it is this bony bone, three or four section, a bunch of bones that attaches to your skull. When you sing, what you hear in your head, because you're creating, your coach is going, more overtones, more undertones, more, give me everything you got. I want it thick as a wall. Give me everything you got. In your head, it sounds like, nya. But when you record it, those characteristics aren't there. And the reason that they're not is because what you're hearing is the resonance is starting from the inside of your skull, working its way outwardly towards the eardrum. And what you hear in your head is not what the body tr produces to the world. And so you get the intermediate has to be trained to be more buzzy, more shrilly, more dynamically theatrical than what sounds appealing in their own head. You typically can get people doing that by having them touch their fingers to their ears and they start hearing what's coming out, having that override the sensations they're hearing from the malleus, which is like living inside of a speaker box. And they go, oh wow, it doesn't sound that disgusting in the world. Yet it is far more theatrical and it sounds far more emotionally charged than I would think. So the intermediate has moved into acceptance, but they have to move into an awareness of the theatricality, that their theatricality is not as high as their favorite singer. And they have to adopt this change of taste for the theatrical, in order to get their recording captures to have the right balance of shrill, brassy, bright, and warm, dull, and dumb. So it has all the characteristics that they hear when they play their favorite celebrity singing, hearing a recording of them. They go, wow, I sound like that. I have that A-list voice. So there's a difference between the beginner. They haven't come to terms with acceptance. They think that they're still under the misbelief that your voice is merely God-given. It's not a skill like swinging a golf club, a magnificent driving 250-yard drive. They don't understand that. They think, oh, you're just born this magnificent drive all the way out to that other flag. You're born that way. That's the difficulty for beginners. Then the intermediates are in acceptance and they start really working that swing.
Yes, no, thank you so much for all your knowledge. I want to know, where can people find you if they want to connect with you, they want to request your vocal coach services, or they want to check out your social media channels?
Wow, excellent. I want you to all to go to, please be my guest, come to guymonroe.com. That's GUYMONROE.com. And click on a yellow link, which will allow you to have a personal meeting with me. where we can talk about your dreams and your aspirations, where you'd like to go, what your vision is. Because my job is to bring out your vision, not my vision for you, your vision for you, what you want to create, help you get there without harming your voice. So go to GuyMonroe.com and you can get that there.
Thank you so much. And please do check Guy Monroe out. I'm sure he'd love to connect with you. And if you like this podcast and you want more episodes like this, then please do leave a review and share it with a friend or family member. And we hope to see you next time. Sorry, I'm just figuring out if I can end the recording. I don't know.
It'll shut off
Oh, okay.
when we leave. When you hit the big
Yes,
red
okay.
end button, then it'll start rendering it for you, both of
Yes,
the
okay.
audio and the video.
Yes, I'm so sorry about this. I'm not used to this format, but yeah. No, it gave me a little surprise, a shocker. I'm like, I think I'm going to do talk for an interview because sometimes I do interviews for my book and for my music. And I was like, oh, I'm going to talk about this. And then I popped on and I'm like, oh, this is weird. And yeah.
Well, sorry for the curveball, but I hope it's
No.
valuable, and I hope your wonderful fan base finds this information to bring them hope
Yes,
for
no.
their voice.
This is exactly the type of content that my audience consumes. Like the vocal coaching, we've had musicians, we've had authors, we've had any type of creative, whether it's performance, everyone on the.
Oh, I just lost your
Oh,
audio. Just say now.
okay. Every type of musician, every type of creative on the podcast. So it's been wonderful. I'm sorry, I'm a bit sick today, so my voice is not normally.
Your placement is beautiful. You're really placing it in the resonator, and you're getting that lubricant to come down the trachea onto the vocal folds, which you're really tending yourself nicely. So your voice is nice and crisp. Even though you have a cold, I
Thank
just want you
you.
to know that. Sounds good.
Yes, no, I have a cold, so I feel a bit more, I feel stuffy or nasally, and like it's not how I normally sound, but yes.
Wow. Well, I'm honored because I've received your communications. You're a wonderful touch baser. You're wonderful at your communications that you send out. And here's this in your emails. And we just have this podcast. This is amazing. And all of your beautiful follow-up. I just want to commend you on you're a very good communicator.
Thank you so much. No, thank you for taking the time out of your day and sharing your knowledge. I love, like, I have such an appreciation for vocal coaches and musicians just because it's where I started out. It's what I do, and it's so close to my heart. And I appreciate you popping on and sharing your expertise.
Wow, my great pleasure. If you ever have a last minute ditch, and somebody doesn't show up and you need, I need somebody to talk to. Wait, we'll talk about stage fright anxiety. Guy, are you available next week? Blah, blah, blah. Please feel free to reach out
Yes.
if you feel like doing that at any time. So I'm here.
Yes, I will, of course. No, so I just wanted to ask, you say you do vocal coaching. How long have you been doing it for?
20 years.
Wow, that's a long time. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I assume that you've been doing like music, operas your entire life before that. So it's like 20 years. But when it comes to music, 20
Oh,
years for vocal coaching, you could
yeah.
spend a lifetime.
A lifetime. Yeah. So it's like you, I started when I was a kid. I had natural ability when I was 5 years old. And so I started really young, and I'm in my 60s now. So it's been a lot of singing going on, a lot of 55 years of the, and a love for music like you have. It's like I love all styles and how it's done and their mastery, and I just find it all so fascinating. It's all expression, and so
Yes.
I do love watching people express themselves and share intimately. So, yeah, I share that with you. Absolutely.
No, I love how you keep your keyboard right there because it's like you can pluck that note. You
Yeah.
can, you're, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Gotta do it. Gotta do it.
Yes. No, that's what true musicians do. It's always the instrument is right there. Mine is just over in a corner in my corner over there, so I have to move my camera. But
Awesome. Wow. Well,
yes.
thank you for your generosity of sharing me with your fan base. And I'm yours to serve you any way I can. So if you need any help or want a last minute replacement, I'm here for you. And it'd be my pleasure. So my door's always open to you.
Yes, and feel free to reach out to me if you need anything, you want to share something. I can always try and promote it. What I do with my podcast episodes is what I've been doing on my mailing list, which is include, your links in the description so that all of my everybody on my mailing list, my audience can go and click on the link, check out what you do, and it's just to support the community.
Oh, thank you. Oh, and if I can ask you one favor. So I'm going to be doing that to you. I have my podcasts list, and you'll be at the top for this. So whatever the name of this is going to be, let me know. And
Okay.
then the links to you, because I will search for you. Where is she on Facebook? Where is she on this? Where is she on that? Is she on YouTube? Where is she? What's her link? I'll put all your links up. And then what I'm going to do is I'd like to put a little quote from you. Something along the lines of, Guy was definitely not a waste of time being on my show. It was
Yes,
he was
I'll
an
make sure to write
interesting.
that.
And just let me know so when this is when you're ready.
Yes. Okay, thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and I hope to connect with you at another time.
Me too. To be continued. Ciao.
Yes, bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Masked Monologues. Don't forget to like and subscribe. See you next time.